What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Barely Legal and Web3. I'm your host, Jamelia Greer, bringing you the latest in Web3 every week with a legal twist. So hold on to your digital wallets and let's get into it. I'm super excited today for two reasons. The first reason is that this is our first YouTube series episode of our Web3 Founder series that we've done in a while. The second reason is that I have a guest on today who is super funny, but also very much in the Web3 space, and I'm sure you guys will really enjoy the conversation. I'd like to introduce Aaron Haber, who is founder of the Below Board Comedy Club, and he is also a stand-up comedian that has ventured into the metaverse. And for those of you that don't know, the Below Board Comedy Club is a metaverse comedy club below the Bored Ape Yacht Club. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. And that is a lot of pressure. You know, your guest is extremely funny, the funniest guy you've ever seen. You are going to laugh. And then when people don't, they're like, oh, come on now. Come on now.
Stakes are high.
In comedy, you know, the host, the MCs, we're not really supposed to say, your next comedian is super funny. Because then it sets up expectations, right? So we just say, you've seen him on Comedy Central, you've seen him on whatever, and then go ahead. Now the pressure's on. The pressure's on.
Okay. It's serious now. And I know that we've talked about comedy and humor. People are probably wondering, well, what do you mean? Where are his roots? What's his origin story? So I'd love to talk a bit more about that, about how you started out and your journey from really comedy into this Web3 metaverse space.
Yeah, well, and first of all, thank you for having me on as a guest. I am honored to be part of your Barely Legal podcast. And of course, you saved the best looking for the first on-camera guest, so I appreciate that. And so my history, well, my mom met my dad, and then 9 months later, I was born. And it's probably longer than that. I didn't really ask them. I don't want to get into their business. I've been doing comedy since, stand-up type stuff and improv since college. Went out to Second City, did a lot of improv with the masters of improv, you know, Del Close and the Second City and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then moved back to New York in 2001 to start doing stand-up and really loved it. And I've done now thousands of stand-up shows and performing, producing, booking, all kinds of things. Got to work with the Friars Club in New York, which is no longer, but it was a pretty legendary club. And along the way, even taught comedy at Princeton University, which was an amazing experience. So fast forward to 2015, I'm in Los Angeles and I opened the world's first fully online comedy club. I mean, we did have a physical space that we worked out of, but it was meant to be just completely comedians performing online to audiences online. Maybe a little bit before its time, but then during the pandemic, every comedian wanted to perform online because all of a sudden there were no clubs open, which also led to me losing my job as a comedy writer for a bunch of comedians because they had no gigs. So I said, okay, well, what can I do? And it was the first time here in the States that I was eligible for unemployment because, you know, as a gig worker, comedian, you don't really have a job to lose to get unemployment. So I started to look into Web3 at that point and really liked what I saw. It was a digital art revolution. You know, it focused on fine artists, but I felt like there was also room for writers and comedians. And so, you know, in a nutshell, that sort of began my journey into Web3 in the old Clubhouse days back in 2021. And I was fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time. And I minted a Bored Ape, who's the first stand ape comedian, and decided to build a comedy club around my Bored Ape Yacht Club IP. You're not going to get any short answers out of me, just so you know.
Oh no, I'm soaking this up because I didn't know that you had this background of, you know, doing the online comedy first and that you also taught. And so I can imagine that as you kind of segued into this metaverse space, you were able to use some of those skills, because not everyone can be funny virtually. I mean, I am, but not everyone can be funny virtually. I laugh at my own jokes too. All my listeners know that. So I don't know if there's a rule about that.
You're not going to, who's going to, right? So you have to.
Someone's going to be the first.
Yes.
But you know, you have all those skills and you can bring it over into the meta. And are there some kinds of jokes that, or some types of comedy that you feel resonates better when you're live and you're in person rather than virtually?
Well, you know, the answer that you'll get from most people, both comedians and audience, is, well, you really need to be in the same room with people, you know, to soak up their physical presence. And, you know, and what I love is when people tell me that when we're on Twitter, now X, and we're like, we're disembodied voices behind, you know, pictures of animals and stuff. And they're like, you know, you really have to be in the same room. And you really, I said, we're literally talking to each other across thousands and tens of thousands of miles. We don't know what we look like. We've never met in person, and we've established relationships, and we can have a real-time conversation and react to each other. So
yeah, I've laughed at some of your tweets out loud, actually, and I've engaged in some of them regretfully. And they've been on my timeline, but you're pretty funny on Twitter too.
Well, I appreciate that. But my point is that in the audio spaces, people are saying, well, you can't interact virtually, and we are literally interacting virtually. So it's a different experience to be in a comedy club. That's a great experience, but it is also a great experience to be in a virtual room with comedians. And by the way, there's a few different ways that we do this. One is the shows are just like this, right? Where you have a bunch of comedians in a room and they're performing, you know, one at a time, of course, but then you have, you know, 10, 50, 100, 1,000 audience members that can react in real time and laugh, and the comedian can interact with them. And so it's not like a virtual metaverse, you know, puppet. It's the comedian performing just like this. We also simulcast that into our metaverse comedy club for the little, you know, weirdo avatars to enjoy in our virtual club. So I think it's a good experience. And I think what you asked, is there any kind of humor that resonates more so? And I think the answer is, it is a medium of comedy that is just being established. And the answer is, I don't know yet. But one thing that I want the comedians to do when they come in is to experiment, is not just to necessarily do a normal set and you just happen to be online, but what can you do with the technology and the medium that is different? You know, like, I can't show you my sleeping puppy dog over there. You can kind of see him if we were, you know, if I was just doing a show, but you know, here you can't do anything.
Well, I mean, do you have any lawyers in your lineup? Because that could be a game changer. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there.
Listen, they do all around. You'll see like New York's Funniest Lawyer contest, you know, and wherever they are. My friend Dino Badala, he actually started doing comedy from one of those contests, I believe. And now he's, you know, a pretty well-known comedian and political commentator. So, yes, there are a lot of lawyers who are comedians because I guess they're not fully satisfied with being lawyers. I don't know.
We won't go there. we'll leave that alone. So, I mean, you know, and you mentioned using the technology and sort of engaging with people as they're, you know, as they're listening to stand-up comics online. Is it, you know, it's showing them what's happening in your space, but maybe it's also allowing them to interact in time with emojis or some sort of response and getting that feedback. Because I think that would be a huge, you know, if I'm a new comedian and I'm doing stand up and I don't have that feedback, I can't hear the laughter. I need to know that people are, you know, somehow engaging with my material.
Right. But see, that's what everybody thinks, but that's not the reality of the situation. Is that you say, well, if I can't hear the audience, you can hear the audience. So just like I am talking to you right now, and we're many, many, many miles away, and you can hear me in real time, it's the same exact thing with a comedian performing to an online audience. They hear real-time reactions, laughter, clapping, potential, you know, you suck, you know, that kind of stuff. They hear that in real time. The only difference is they're not in the same physical room, but they do get a response. Now, it's true, we have to sort of guide the audience to unmute their mics. You know, I think a lot of people are nervous that they're going to, you know, ruin the show by laughing. But it's the same thing in a physical comedy club where the comedian's job is to get the audience comfortable enough to laugh, you know, and comedians employ different tactics and have an understanding. You know, like if there's only like five people in the crowd laughing, you go over towards those five people and you kind of play to them for a while. And then people in the audience go, well, I want to be part of this too. I want them talking to me too. So then they start laughing and then you kind of, you know, let them in as well. And, you know, you don't concentrate on the fact that, you know, in the beginning, a lot of people aren't laughing. You don't know why they're not laughing. It may not be because they don't like you, maybe because they're shy. But anyway, the point is our technology is no different than this. So the comedians are getting real-time feedback.
That's amazing. And these skills, I mean, these skills to kind of hone in and, you know, you're getting that feedback. Do you find that now, and I don't know if you've been to a comedy club in person recently, but when you go in person, do you feel like, oh man, this is not the same? Or do you feel like, you know, I miss this? How is that like IRL in real life experience? And for you as like being an audience member, different?
Well, I'll talk about from being a comedian. You know, there's the onstage bit, right? Where you go and you perform and hopefully it's great. And then you have a good time. But then there's all the rest of it, which is traveling to the venue. If it's a local venue, you're traveling locally. You know, in New York, you're taking the subway or a cab or something or an Uber. If you're touring, you're driving or you're flying, and then you are hanging out there physically. You've got to be at the venue waiting for the other comedians to be done for you to go up. Then, you know, and then depending on where you are, you're in a smoky environment or, you know, there's a bunch of weirdos next to you, whatever. And yeah, there is something to be said for that club experience, but there's also something to be said for comedians picking up extra gigs, not having to go anywhere. Right? Yeah. Like being from the comfort of your own home or even being in or around the comedy club it just performed at and not having to travel and pick up another paid spot for the night somewhere that's nowhere near them. So
yeah,
I'm an introvert, right? Like I know it don't seem like it, but I'm an introvert. You can tell because I started an online comedy club out of my office, right? But I really love these shows. I really love interacting with people. I also really love not putting on pants and not having to travel and just being at home when I'm done, you know? Yeah. So we had an event for Yuga Labs from the Bored Ape Yacht Club Council, and they were nice enough to give us a grant to put up a metaverse show. And again, the metaverse show was like this, you know, real people. And then we also put it in our metaverse screen. And it was amazing. We had pre-shows with different members of the Bored Ape Yacht Club who do great spaces on Twitter. We had a DJ, Caruso, who's the leader of the Wicked Craniums NFT project, DJing from out of Joshua Tree. And we had people in our metaverse from Japan, from the Middle East, from all over Europe, from all over North America, all hanging out in the club. Hang out, dancing, listen to the music together, vibing. We even had a green room for Caruso's guests that, you know, was private for them. And then the comedy started. And then there were comedians from New York, LA, London, some other places, I think. And everybody got to experience this together. And it was so much fun to produce. I was going from the main club to the green room to the Zoom feed, talking with the comedians. It was so much fun, really. Wow. So much
fun. That's, you know, and it's funny, Aaron, because when I initially asked you to be on, I was thinking, you know, this is the Web3 founder series, and we wanted to focus on Web3 projects and companies that do good. So they have a good social impact. And I was initially thinking, you know, making people laugh, cheering them up. It's, you know, it's great for mental health, for emotional health. But you said something there that I never really thought about is the ability for comedians to monetize or to also gain additional income in situations where they otherwise couldn't, because either, you know, COVID at the time, but even now there are still issues where people just don't want to travel. I mean, our world is not the same anymore. And then also the fact that, you know, people might not be able to get to where they want to get to. And so this impact, it's actually, you know, we're talking about twofold right now, which is the additional jobs creation or gig creation, and then also uplifting mental health and emotional health. But there's also that connectivity. You're talking about connectivity and connecting people from all around the world, which is huge as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of our missions in the company is called Laughing Ape, and Below Board is our metaverse. We call it Comedy Club Metaverse, is to get comedians into Web3, because, you know, with NFTs, with the blockchain, it's besides the gigs that we do, NFTs are a way for comedians to monetize their content. So right now, you get a set together, and then you either do a comedy special or you're on one of the late night shows or something. And then you can keep some of that material, but then you start working on your next set for the next comedy special or album or late night gig, right? You can't really repeat, you can't repeat the material too much. So that just sits in a box somewhere. It doesn't do anything. Well, what if you could sell the digital version, not even giving away your intellectual property rights? But what if you could sell the digital version, sort of like NBA Top Shots, where you could buy like a 5-second video of LeBron James dunking on someone? Well, why not sell a 20-second video of you performing one of your amazing jokes and getting a huge response? Why not sell a visual version of the joke, either in written form or in, you know, with an artistic version to it, you know, which we've done. So I want to open the minds of comedians up to there are more ways to monetize than just having to sleep on a flea infested couch in a comedy condo waiting to go up in the middle of nowhere. There are other ways to monetize your material without losing your IP rights. Currently, and this is what I found when I opened up the online comedy club in 2015, a lot of comedians are afraid of change, which not just comedians, everybody. They're afraid of change, they're afraid of technology. NFTs and Web3 have certainly got a bad rap in the press. Some of it deserved, but every industry has bad people in it. So there's a barrier towards convincing people that this is a legitimate, fun, and hopefully profitable way to monetize your material.
So I guess the flip side of that, let's say there's an average Joe comedian out there listening and he's saying, this guy, he was good at technology before. He was doing an online comedy club. He was teaching. He had a head start. What would you say to that comedian that might need some additional gigs but is afraid to, or is otherwise there's some kind of barrier stopping him or her from doing something like this? Or at least engaging in the community.
Ultimately, everybody's got to do what they feel comfortable with. I mean, you know, I worked on booking a comedian friend of mine for about 6 weeks before the Bored Silly event. And ultimately, he couldn't get past the NFT portion of it. And so didn't do the gig. We had amazing comedians. And he actually came and watched under a pseudonym to see what it was. And hopefully we'll be able to book him next time that he saw that it was such a great time. But in terms of the knowledge gap, well, everybody's got to start somewhere, right? So it's okay if you don't know anything. First of all, that's what we're here for, to give a guidance to comedians. Also, the technology keeps on getting easier and easier. So we're working with NiftyKit now, who basically spins up WYSIWYG, you know, what you see is what you get. ways of putting out smart contracts and accepting different cryptocurrencies, and to the point where the comedians and the people buying the possible NFTs, they don't need to know anything about crypto. I'll give you a great example, Starbucks Odyssey, which I'm very, very fond of. When it's an NFT project, blockchain on Polygon. When you log in through their partner Nifty Gateway, there's nothing blockchain about it. You get an email, and then you put the code in for the email that you got, and it lets you in. That's it. You don't have to have a MetaMask. You don't have to do anything. So I say for the comedians, just come and talk to us. We'll help you through it. If you like it, you can keep doing it. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it anymore.
I want to hang there on the point you mentioned about this sort of evolution from things being complicated to what you see is what you get and just a better user interface. Because, I mean, I can remember when I first came in and I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, I had my wallet. I gave my seed phrase. You know, I mean, people do stupid things when you start. Aaron, come on. Now you, I saw. But no, I mean, you do foolish mistakes when you first start out. And so I think you're right. I think part of that fear has to be sort of not just education, but how the technology is presented. And yeah, Starbucks didn't have a Discord. Starbucks wasn't like jump in our Discord and get on the whitelist and get some spots. No, it was Starbucks Odyssey, and you didn't know that it was anything else. So I think that's sort of the evolution that has to happen.
They do have a Discord. I don't know when they opened it up. They do have a Discord, and they're great at disseminating information to people. You get emails from them if you want them. You get info in the Discord. They're fantastic. And also, just to shout out Starbucks Odyssey, they had an event, two, 3 weeks ago. And I got an email. I said, okay, let me do it. So I was one of the first 2003 people to do it, celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pumpkin Spice Latte. And they sent me a tumbler. It's a little blurry here, but they sent me a tumbler for free. No shipping, no, just like, hey, here you go. And that's the kind of stuff I love. And that's the kind of stuff I want to do with our audience coming in, is to hook them up with rewards and prizes and access to comedians, all of that. But, you know, Web3 is too complicated. And, you know, during my almost 3 years now of being in Web3, I've had to ask people, what do you care more about? Like accomplishing your goal, selling your art, or evangelizing? Is that the right way to say that?
Blockchain.
You know, like, because there are a lot of people who go like, well, everyone coming in has to know how to use a MetaMask wallet and they have to understand the blockchain. Why? When I use my credit card, I don't understand the underlying technology. I get it. There's a chip in it and you can tap it. But I don't need to understand the full international banking and credit system to use my credit card. They've just made it honestly too easy to use. And so in Web3, like being on the producing side, it was like every little thing we had to do was so overly complicated on our end, just to make sure it's on the blockchain and it was token gated, and it was maddening, to be honest. And so we don't want to have that experience for the comedians or for the audience coming in. We want the experience for them to be just like they're buying anything else online. You buy a ticket to us, there's no difference buying a ticket for us online or buying a ticket for your local comedy club online. It's just how you access it. But that is a hurdle, is that everything is way too complicated in Web3. It's great to be decentralized. It's great to be secure. Although, like you said, you know, you gave your seed phrase to somebody. It's, you know, it's easy to get hacked sometimes. But we've got to make it so that it's way easier to access and it's way safer. The whole theory, for lack of a better word, of, well, hey, you know, you gave away your seed phrase, so too bad for you. You lost your stuff forever. I don't really like that aspect of the industry. It's the only place where people can steal your stuff, and basically you have no recourse and nothing happens. So I'm looking forward to the insurance industry expanding, for the criminal justice system to expand and be able to get your things back. And I get it. It's decentralized. You're not supposed to be able to go into people's wallets and all that, but there's got to be protections for holders and users.
Yeah, there's so much work that has to be done around that. And I mean, every time we open up our phones or look on our laptop, you see headlines about scams and frauds. And I really think, you know, that negative light is not what, first of all, it's not what the technology is about, but that's not the potential that can be reached. And you're right, insurance, criminal justice, other systems that should be a little bit more integrated into this, they've got to catch up. Now, what's funny is that this year I've been noticing that Web2 brands are, as you mentioned, Starbucks, but they are getting into the space, and the things that they're doing and the way that they're doing it is actually the way that I see it. They're almost eating the lunch of the people who came in early. You know, the people that came in early and started with the small communities and, you know, did a lot of building, did a lot of, you know, Twitter work and built up their community. And then you have a big brand. I don't want to shout out any brands in particular, but they come in and they do something similar. And most times it's a hit, at least relatively a hit, because they have larger budgets and they have larger resources. I mean, where do you see that evolving? I mean, certainly in the entertainment spaces, it's been quite interesting to see now in the creators, you know, the strike that happened, the creators realize, wait a minute, we're getting screwed over here. You know, we're writing and, you know, we've got people over there, you know, we've got the creator economy, we've got Web3, all of this stuff is changing, but we're staying the same. So where do you see that headed?
Well, that's more of an AI issue, to be quite honest. That's one of the things the writers struck for. And same thing with, you know, the actors and the Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA. So I'm a fan of big brands coming in. I'm also a little, you know, a small time. Well, I don't say small time to denigrate myself, but I'm a small founder, you know, of a small company that's just scraping by right now anyway. But first of all, most of these companies are working with Web3 companies to get in. So there are different companies that are helping them. And so they're pouring money into the Web3 economy. And listen, all the companies started relatively small, though some didn't. You know, you have like, you know, Vayner, you know, who already was pretty big. But the companies, for the most part, are hiring people from the Web3 industry, and they're hiring companies. So there is money. I mean, Starbucks partnered with Nifty Gateway. And, you know, I know several members on that team who are mainstays in the NFT ecosystem. So they're getting paid, and I think that's a great thing. And they're also moving the technology forward, and they're also getting us towards mass adoption. In the rooms that I've been in, everybody talks about mass adoption. When I first got in 2021, mass adoption meant like talking to your uncle at Thanksgiving and trying to get him a MetaMask, right? And that didn't really work. Unfortunately, a lot of people that were just kind of sniffing around and trying to figure out what was going on, they got preyed on by the predators here in the space. They were exit liquidity, the greater fool. And so you saw most of those people leave the space. But you also had a lot of, there are a lot of communities that don't interact with each other that are still relatively strong, that are just doing their own thing. But the mass adoption has been thought of as, okay, 10 million people are gonna come in here and buy up my bags, you know, buy up my property and give me exit liquidity. That's not the mass adoption that I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be through brands like Starbucks and Nike and, you know, other brands who are doing things in the space that make it incredibly easy to use. I'll give you a good example. Reddit has their avatar program. They've now worked with a tremendous amount of artists in the space. And they've worked with different collections like Cool Cats. I believe Deadfellas is putting a collection out with Reddit. On Reddit, in the beginning, people really didn't like NFTs. You'd go around and people were like, oh, NFTs are a scam, blah, blah, blah. They didn't know they were buying NFTs or getting them for free when they started this avatar program. They put them in a vault. Well, it turned out the vault was a digital wallet. And so when people had already been using it and it was super easy to use, and then they found out that they were NFTs and they could sell them, they could keep them, they owned them, there was a pretty positive response. And so they continue that program out. And that's the kind of thing that's going to bring in mass adoption for projects like mine and other projects where people go, oh, NFTs. Yeah, okay. Comedy show. Yeah, oh, yeah, okay. Comedy ticket. Great. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of the companies coming in. I would like the current ecosystem to pay more attention to smaller, scrappy companies, you know, like Laughing Ape and probably 500 others in the space who show up every day, work really, really hard, but don't get the big influencer attention. There are diamonds in the rough out there. And that's what I hope happens.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, one thing I was going to say is that I do see some Web3 companies sort of being tapped on the shoulder to say, hey, do you want to collab? Do you want to participate in this new rollout of a new product? But as with, you know, tech as it's always been, diversity is always an issue. And I don't see many, you know, I'll just say even Black just to start. As an example, those Web3 companies or projects, you know, really getting any sort of showcase. It's a broad statement, but I'd like to see more of it, quite frankly. And so that's one hope, is to see more diversity in the space and to not let, you know, I mean, we're supposed to be decentralized and a bit, you know, transparent and for all of these ideals. Some of those ideals that were compromised in the Web2 space, hopefully they won't be compromised in the Web3 space, even though there is no line between Web2 and Web3. It's all the same.
Look, it's supposed to be that decentralization is supposed to take care of some of the historic injustices that have been perpetrated on different communities, right? Because you take out the guy at the bank who's like looking at you to see, you know, what background you are, not looking at your information, and then making a decision that is based on your background. It's supposed to be that with peer-to-peer and with, you know, trustless and, you know, faceless, all that, it's just supposed to be, okay, do you qualify? Do you like the terms? Okay, you got it, right? And it's supposed to take out a lot of that stuff. Now, is it doing that? I don't know. I will say, though, that the vast majority of people that I know in the space are anonymous. And they are under pseudonyms, and they represent themselves with different images, whether it's a piece of art or whether it's a PF. I keep going, I'm mirrored here, or a PFP or something. And so I have been, I don't want to say surprised, like, oh, but there's many, many people in the space that you think are one thing. Either they're, I thought they were younger or older, or, you know, you have an image in your mind. And then you meet them, or you finally see a picture of them, and they are not the racial background you thought. They are not in the age range you thought. They don't look anything like what you thought. And you go, okay, you know. So there are definitely projects run by people from the Black community and all different communities. But yes, I agree with you. I hope there's as equal and fair distribution. I would rather see a meritocracy than anything else. And I hope that's what we're starting to build here.
Right, right. Switching gears a bit, you know, one of the things that you mentioned when you talked about the Bored Silly event was this global impact and the ability to kind of reach people in different ways through the metaverse. What do you see as far as what's in the future for Below Bored in terms of events or, you know, new sort of things that people can look forward to?
Our goal now is to grow an international audience of comedians and comedy lovers and to put them together for, you know, first a series of events, and then as that pool grows wider, weekly events, and then maybe daily events. You know, we have a virtual comedy club already up and running. And I think once people come in and experience that, either through shows like this on Zoom, we're not on Zoom, but you know what I mean, or in the metaverse, they're going to say, oh, this is fun. I'm hanging out with people from all over the world, laughing it up, and then connecting socially. I'm connecting with comedians. I'm meeting comedians that I'd never seen before. I'm finding new acts that I love. And so our plan is just to evolve into the biggest provider of comedy in the world, and have amazingly fun events, not just online, but also in real life. I've produced in real life comedy events for 25 years. That's what we're looking to do. And I think that as people come in and experience it, they're going to love it and they're going to want it more. And it's not just the comedy, by the way. Again, like watching Caruso DJ and our avatars dance and the people in Zoom, you know, vibe out, like that really cemented it for me. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun and such a great like bonding experience with people that no, they're not in the same room with me. I want to do this all the time. And so, you know, there was a night in London. I did comedy. A friend invited me out. I did comedy in front of like 20 people in this tavern in Piccadilly Circus. And afterwards, talked to some of the comedians at the bar, you know, and that was cool. And then there was a private drinking club in London called, I want to say it was called the Three Arts Club, I believe. And it was an underground drinking club for comedians and their guests, not open to the public. And we just talked comedy. We talked about life. I met a bunch of people. It was only one night, but it made such a profound impact on me. It wasn't just about the show. It was about the whole night and the whole experience and the camaraderie and the socialization. And since that time, that's what I've been building back towards, is to give people that same kind of experience of a comedy show, but also a night of fun, entertainment, and socializing that I got to experience in London that night.
Those experiences in people's lives are few and far between. And so I think to the extent that you can create that and you can bring about that good energy, that good vibe, and let people leave remembering it and having connection even in that moment, and hopefully, you know, connections afterwards, I think that's great. And you guys just continue doing what you're doing, because that's what the space needs. I mean, we need that positivity at this time.
You too. What you're doing is great as well. I mean, we've worked together, you know, as lawyer and client, and you helped so much. I mean, you were so great with your advice and just helping us navigate this really murky Web3 universe right now. And so we need people like you who are trustworthy and helpful to the smaller startup projects and the bigger projects too. So thank you.
Well, we hope this is a movement, and love for you to continue to be a part of it and bring all your crazy laughing ape friends in and let them bring the good vibes too.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure as always. Aaron, if people want to find you, if they want to find Below Board, where should they go?
Well, on Twitter or X, you can go to @BelowBoard, B-O-R-E-D. I'm Aaron Haber, @AaronHaber, my name there. I'll never get this right. Of course, we've got BelowBoard.club that you can go to as well. And yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm not going to give you my seed phrase, but feel free to reach out if your organization wants an online or in real life comedy event, or if you want to join up and become one of the Below Board Fellows, as we call our members.
It's amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. Pleasure having you on. And for those of you that are listening, stay safe out there and hold on to your digital wallets. And then also don't give away your seed phrase.
Don't do it.
Take care.